The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio, a Frozen Tuesday edition of the show. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Hope you're doing well from snowy Knoxville. Bear and Trey and Jake all here for the festivities. Everybody's bundled up against the cold, ready for a late night basketball game tonight. And hope you all are doing good. You good, Trey?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good.
Good?
I walked outside this morning in shorts. I was planning on starting my day. And immediately walked right back
inside. Did you not check the weather?
I did.
Did you not listen to the show in the 5 o'clock hour? Russell and Bear gave you a full weather report rundown?
I was kind of listening. I had my AirPods in while I was watching some basketball players shoot the ball.
Did you not walk outside and see the snow on the ground?
Did you look on your phone and check the temperature before you got dressed?
No, not really. I had things to do early this morning, and I was like, all right, we'll be good. And no, it wasn't. So.
Trey was caught completely unawares. Bear, you doing
well?
I knew
the snow was coming.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Jake, everybody's present and accounted for. Good
stuff. I had an issue at lunch. So it's going to put me in a mood.
An issue?
Yeah, there was an issue incident.
Is there an incident? I mean, were police involved?
No.
Was there blood?
No.
I mean,
no.
Crying?
No.
Well, we might want to leave the studio.
Maybe.
Crying?
I don't know.
Somebody cried?
I heard, you know.
Did you cry?
No.
Well, why do you say no like that? Are you?
Yes.
Strong men also cry, Bear.
Well, I realize that.
There's nothing to be ashamed of if you cried. You cried at lunch today. It's okay, man.
No,
I didn't. Everybody needs to get cry.
I made somebody cry.
You made somebody cry.
Are you familiar with the all-in-one soft drink dispensing machines that are all the rage now?
Yeah, I don't like
where everything tastes the same. It's like this. You remember back when you were a kid playing Little League and you broke into the concession stand, you made suicides?
Yeah.
Love suicides.
Yeah. That's what anything out of those machines tastes like to me.
The ones where they have the touch screen?
Yeah.
I haven't noticed that, but I just think it's disgusting because, like, the screen is all smudgy from everybody who's been eating their food with their
greasy fingers.
Yeah, their greasy fingers. And then they go up there and touch that thing.
You touch it with one finger.
And it doesn't get cleaned off. Well, you touch it with one finger, and then the next guy comes and touches it with one finger. And the next guy, and the next guy. No, you don't wash your hands because you're an American and people don't wash their hands anymore. And so, inevitably, that screen is filthy.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't stand it.
It's smudged up like a second grader's glasses. I use a napkin. If I go up for a refill.
But does it work with a napkin?
If you only go through like one ply, but I got to have some kind of barrier between my finger and the greasy screen that thing is.
What'd you do, go to a firehouse?
No. They've got them in Wendy's now, too.
Well, let's not throw local businesses under
the
bus.
They have them at the W?
A lot of people are.
I mean, it's a space saver. I get that.
I mean, the place I went to earlier today had one.
And that's what is eventually going to be everywhere. That's a wave of the future.
I'm not a big fan. So anyway, I know what you're talking about. How did somebody cry?
I mean, now looking back on it, I think I may have gotten a little more heated than I probably should have.
No.
What was the CO2 out or something?
No. I simply wanted a beverage from the machine back there in the back.
Oh, goodness.
I didn't want to mix.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you can't. I mean. Dude,
that's pushing it.
You're out of line.
No, that's not a big ask to politely go up and say, hey, I don't really like the way this tastes. Can you pour me a fresh Coca-Cola out of your spigot right there?
And there's this different in the back?
Yeah, because it's not that giant machine with everything coming out of one spout.
So you asked the person if they could pour it in the back.
They wanted to give me a hard time about it.
What did they say?
No.
And what did you say?
Pardon me?
And what did they say?
No.
And what did you say?
Can't talk about it on the radio.
You cussed out the poor girl at Wendy's.
No, it wasn't a chick.
It was a man.
Yeah.
You cussed him out?
Eh, I wouldn't say not. You've heard me cuss somebody out. I've cussed you out. And it wasn't a full-blown cuss.
And the man cried.
Eh, him or the old lady that I didn't see sitting.
Hot.
I mean, what? See, but people, regular folks, don't know about the spigots in the back.
No, I didn't know about that.
Right.
I don't feel like it's spigot. It's a dispenser. A spigot is like the thing on the back of your house which you attach the hose.
You all never look through the window when you're in the drive-thru? It's right there. That's all I asked for. I was like, pull me a Coke off, because I've been through their drive-thru before. Coke's off that thing. Delish. Yeah.
I don't think there's as much of a difference as you think there is.
I don't drink, Russell. I'm a connoisseur of soft drinks, okay?
Well, what does drinking alcohol have to do with anything? I'm thoroughly, like, the more you talk, I'm just trying to get clarification. And just the more questions I have, the murkier it gets.
Well, just go on with your segment. I'm sorry. Sorry.
You know what they need? I haven't been to this establishment in about a year and a half. The last time I went was with my dad when he was in town, my uncle, my cousin. They need a milk dispenser at the Krispy Kreme.
All right, so I hope everybody had a good night last night. I want to start with the Lady Vols. I want to start with the Lady Vols. I had totally forgot they were playing last night, and I see on Twitter our friend Luis Fernandez, WBIR, tweeting that the Lady Vols are up on number 15 Notre Dame at the half, and up by like 8 points.
Stuff it, Muffet.
I was like, wow, that's impressive. Probably not going to hold up, but good for you, Kelly Harper. And, you know, I was just sitting around and decided to flip over there and check it out. And I ended up watching most of the second half of that game. And I just wanted to check in because, listen, I'm no coach, but we talked about it yesterday. And we won't dwell on this for a long time because I know a lot of y'all don't care about women's basketball. But as we talked about last year, like that program is so important to so many people in this community, and to see what had happened to it under Holly Warlick was so, so, so disappointing. And anybody, whether you're a coach or not, you could just flip on their games and tell that they weren't hustling. They weren't trying hard, man. They weren't playing hard, and they were disorganized and chaotic and lazy, and it was just so depressing. It was very similar to what we had seen happen to our football program. And so when they made the move that they had to make at the end of the year, I think a lot of people wondered, well, you know, Avina Westbrook transfers, their best player from last year, so it's probably going to take some time for Coach Harper to bring in her players and coach them up and stuff. It's going to be a rebuilding process, and it still might be. It still might be. But, man, it is noticeable the hustle, the determination, the intensity that was the hallmark of the Pat Summitt era. That's back.
Three games in.
And that was really impressive to me. And kudos to Kelly Harper, man, for getting it cranked up. And I mean, women's basketball at its core, I feel, and I don't want to oversimplify it, but I do feel like it's always been a pretty simple thing. Defense and rebounding carry the day so much in that sport. Now, you could be like us in the 90s where you had Shamequa Holtzclaw, Samika Randall, Tamika Catchings all on the same team and just go out there and blow teams away. Or you could be like what Geno is doing now, where he's doing the same thing, where he just has five better players and they have the intensity of the hustle and the talent, and that's hard to beat. But you saw that hustle. I think we beat them we almost doubled them up on the rebounds. It was like 60-30, and the defense was really the. I mean, they're rotating, they're helping out. No easy buckets. Renai Davis went crazy on the other end.
Double.
Yeah, I mean it was really cool to see. I'm so happy that
they handed Notre Dame
Yeah.
Only their fourth loss in 115 home games.
Wow. Wow.
Fourth loss in 115.
The other three were all to UConn.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. So I don't know enough about the sport to say, like, you know, they're definitely back and going to the Final Four or anything. Like, that might still be a year or two down the road. Yep. But if last night is any indication,
yeah,
the just the mess that that program had become is cleaned up.
Yeah, been to a women's Final Four?
I have not. Have you?
So, yeah, I've been to two of them.
Which ones did you go to?
New Orleans and Nashville.
The New Orleans one when we beat LSU down there?
Yes.
Which was the one in Nashville?
I don't know. That was years ago. I'm trying to remember the game. UConn also played down there in New Orleans.
Where they when they hold it in Nashville?
It wasn't Nashville. I'm sorry, it wasn't Nashville. It was Tampa.
Which one was that? That was one we won too, right?
Yeah, it was years ago.
So
it's actually pretty fun. I'm not gonna lie. Like the one in New Orleans is really cool because UConn was.
No, that I
the games
I
are fun.
UConn, yeah, I mean, yeah, the
I'm not gonna be a jerk.
Go ahead. No, do your thing. Go ahead.
Because, I mean, I am
on the parade.
I think, like, last night, they did resemble more like the old
you
Tennessee
didn't watch
Lady
a
Vols.
Single minute of game, of last
yeah,
night's
I did.
Game. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I'm not going to sit here and lie like you are and say I was riveted to the screen by the action. No.
You're just going to lie and pretend that you watched some of the game?
Well, yeah, because where I was
– You were over the fan-run frat house watching Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
You didn't watch a single second of the game.
And Butler kept flipping over to the Lady Vols game.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
So if I text him right now, what's he going to say?
He's going to say that, yeah, he was flipping around.
Text him. How's that women's game last night?
Anyhow, but, I mean, were there other activities that
yeah,
they provided for
stuff,
you?
A lot of stuff outdoors.
Besides watching that?
And we're close. I mean, we were only 140 miles away when we were living in Mobile, and then Tampa. You know, that's not too far.
Because, I mean, I don't know. I still find it almost
it's better
unwatchable.
It was better because it was a packed house in a basketball arena. And it wasn't in a 70,000-seat stadium. I think that's probably what it made it a little better. Like, it felt like a basketball game.
Yeah. Probably not going to be a packed house tonight at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. The Murray State Racers are in town. A 9 o'clock tip. And obviously there's still some precipitation, some ice on the ground. And then and it's not getting much above 32 degrees, so it's going to be cold tonight. I don't know if the weather is going to chase anybody away who would – I think that the late tip is probably more likely to keep fans away than the low temperature.
You're not keep taking kids out at 9 and not being able to leave till 11:15, maybe.
Yeah, well, parents aren't taking their
– Yeah, I mean, it's definitely time. It's not the temperature. Well, it was a couple of years ago there was a night like this and like 15-something thousand.
Yeah, we played LSU down there in like a driving blizzard at 9 o'clock at night, and there were – like 3,000 fans in the building. It was weird.
Tonight, there'll probably be like 10 to 12, I would think.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And Tennessee hoping to take another step forward as they prepare for a big game this weekend with Washington up there in Toronto. So we got a lot to get to here. We'll get your Rocky Top Report coming up next. It's brought to you by the Kregner Group. Just scratching the surface of the drive this afternoon on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this. The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group 865-566-0800 or visit online at dag-us.com.
You can't stop the drive. You can only hope to contain it.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, doing real estate the right way. Tennessee football off week continues. Couldn't come at a more advantageous time. Who do you think, in terms of getting better from an injury, who do you think benefits the most from Tennessee's off week?
Which player?
Between who?
Yeah. Anybody. Bryce Thompson, Darnell Wright, Garantano.
What about all the above?
Toto.
Aubrey Solomon.
Aubrey Solomon, a good one, yeah.
Darnell Wright.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the one to me. Is he got a high ankle sprain?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
You know, that's, I don't know, he's a big man. That might just be something that has to wait till the bowl game to come back from.
I mean, if Garantano's our starter, probably Garantano.
Yeah. K-Rod Calvert really played well the other night. He played every single snap offensively for Tennessee.
I mean, there's a definite difference. The biggest difference is when Toto is not in the game.
Yeah, and
we suddenly become very, very vulnerable directly up the gut.
J.J. Peterson was the first linebacker off the bench for those series as well. So
I didn't even notice that was him.
Yep, number six. Two games in a row that he's played a lot. He played a lot at the – he played pretty much the whole fourth quarter, maybe even some of the third quarter against UAB. So he's getting his opportunities.
Kevon Bennett's minutes have gradually just gone way up.
Yeah. It's been interesting to see Bumpus as well.
Yeah, he's another guy
Taylor.
Who's been banged up.
Like, I'm completely at peace with the direction of the defense. I'm no longer an anxiety-filled bag of rage about the state of our defense. I feel like they're finally getting it.
Yeah, looking better. Lady Vols win at Notre Dame last night. They stay unbeaten on the young season. Victory over a ranked team on the road early for Kelly Harper as she goes into South Bend and waxes Muffet McGraw on her home court. Big game by Renia Davis, 30 points and 10 rebounds to lead the Lady Vols. Rick Barnes and the boys back on the court tonight, 9 o'clock tip. SEC Network has the telecast. Murray State. Know a little bit about Murray State. You remember Ja Morant last year. Mac McMahon is the head coach. If that name sounds familiar, it's because he has extensive ties to East Tennessee. He's from Oak Ridge. He was an assistant, a manager on Buzz Peterson.
Hey, Buzz.
Back in the day, and he will be making his Thompson Bowling debut tonight. Of course, up next, Tennessee heads to Canada for its 2019 James Naismith Classic matchup. 5 o'clock tip against Washington in Toronto's Scotiabank Arena. The game will be available on ESPN Plus. For fans in the U.S., can be streamed online on any mobile device through the ESPN app. So you have to subscribe to ESPN Plus to watch the game Saturday.
So I can't tell my TV?
I don't think so.
I can't speak into my remote control anymore?
No. Now, here's the thing. That Disney Plus launched today.
Yes.
And yeah, I've got it free for a year.
Okay, well, then you'll be able to watch because the ESPN Plus thing is bundled into the Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Can I go somewhere and use my law? How would I?
You can watch it at home.
Well, yeah, but unlike you, I have friends, and I don't want them over at my house. But I will go, you know, somewhere and
log in on their TV. Place. Yeah,
yeah, you can. If you can figure out how to do that, yes, you can do that. So, what is it? $4.99 a month?
Yeah, I mean, I pay for it. It's good. It's got all the 30 for 30. It's got all different kind of. You can watch all the basketball games.
Get all the Disney stuff, Star Wars and stuff like that.
I don't have the Disney Plus yet. I got the ESPN Plus.
Oh, you've got ESPN Plus.
Yeah, you watch all the UFC fights.
This stuff, it just adds up. I mean, I know it's just $5, but it's just the principle of the matter, man.
Yeah, like if I have to add it, something's got to go.
Like I pay, like
from Hulu to ESPN to Netflix.
I've still got cable, and I'm thinking about making the switch of that soon. I've been thinking about it for a long time. I'm probably going to. But it's just, as much as I pay for that, I feel like I should be able to watch the damn Tennessee-Washington game.
Well, here's the deal. When you cut the cord, you go from paying one bill a month to having like 10 or 11 different debits out of your account every month. And they're all going to be like between $5 and $10, and it adds up. Plus, you have to have high-speed internet, so that's 50 from the cable company right there, wherever you're getting your high-speed internet
from.
Not if you use an Xfinity hotspot.
No, when I switch
cable till I die.
I've already done the math. If I switch to YouTube TV, which I'm going to, my bill gets cut in half. And go from like $200
that lag,
a month to $100
then get
a month.
Used to not being on social media during live sporting events.
Why?
Because YouTube TV lags.
Oh. Eh, I mean.
Like up to like, I think Saturday, like I knew what had happened in the Alabama game, walked in and there was like, they were 4 minutes behind me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a trade-off. It's like, what is the savings worth to you? It's, I guess everybody else has to make that judgment for themselves. Tennessee leads the all-time series with Murray State 3-0.
Hmm.
The first meeting was back in, when was the first meeting
between Tennessee and Murray State? 1954.
You're very close.
Dang, I knew it was 52. In the 50s.
Sooner.
55.
1945. That's later, Bear. 1945, and these programs did not play again until 2005 in the city of Nashville. The most recent meeting coming in December of 2006 right here in Knoxville. A win tonight will give the Volunteers their 28th consecutive home win. It is the longest active home win streak in Division I. And a win would also leave Richard Dale Barnes 6 wins away from his 700th career head coaching victory.
Have we figured out where that lines up yet? If Tennessee can roll 6-0 from now, what game that would be?
Mm-mm. Would it be Memphis?
Be glorious. Ooh. If it was.
Jake, do that research real quick. Find us when Rick Barnes 700. If we win all these games, which.
So you think we're playing Wiseman in that game?
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
So it's including tonight. So if he wins tonight, he'll be 6 away, or he's 7 away as we speak.
I mean, if the NCAA can or won't do anything about it, why don't we just play Plasevich?
The TSA.
A win tonight would leave Rick Barnes 6 wins away from 700.
That would be Memphis.
Oh! How sweet would it be to pin?
Say he loses one, it would be on the road at Cincinnati.
No. They want Memphis.
If he loses two, where is it?
Jacksonville State at home.
That's going to be the one.
Jacksonville State at home? You think we'll lose two?
I think there's a chance.
If not that one, up next is Wisconsin.
I mean, he went out and made a schedule and pretended he was a Washington Generals with the team he's got this year.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's got to be pretty close to the top of one of the toughest schedules in the country.
I mean, it's
– the trip to Toronto is going to be tough for Tennessee. I think they can win the game, but stopping Isaiah Stewart, it's going to be a tall task for the Vols.
That's it's an early Saturday test night for our guys. I mean, it ramps up pretty good. We've still got enough cream puffs in there. Like,
is there going to be any word at all on Pember?
Barnes said yesterday that he hasn't practiced since he turned the ankle and that he has a hard time seeing him play tonight. I can't imagine that guy doesn't practice since the last game and then plays tonight. And then that brings up, are you going to throw him out there for the first time against Washington?
No, you probably want to get him.
I would say the week after Alabama State, Chattanooga at home, probably a more realistic thing. And then the Emerald Coast Classic, the Thanksgiving tournament that we're playing in, you play Florida State, who just beat Florida. It's a pretty good team.
That's what you have to watch for tonight, too. But yeah.
And then you would play either Purdue or VCU.
How'd you say it?
Purdue. Yeah, I know. I messed that up, didn't I?
Also messed up just a few minutes ago when you took a shot at me there, buddy.
I did?
Yeah.
How so?
You said basically the exact opposite of what I said. Your sooner rather, that was a later thing. You can check with Freckles. He'll vouch.
So that is your Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by our good friends at the Kregner Group. You can check them out online at BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com for Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group, doing real estate the right way. You got any questions about how much your home is worth, how much you think your home might be worth later, how the market is changing, how the market is evolving, you need tips on how to sell your home faster and for more money, you can find the answers to these questions and more online at BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com, or just call 865-742-1035. 7425. That's 742-1035 for Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group.
I got sad news to report.
Okay.
It all depends. Do you have, you've got kids, right? Are they still at the age where they like to go to pizza places and stuff like that?
Yeah. The Last Pizza Hut?
No.
I saw that one. Those things are closing down.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Really?
They're officially getting rid of their classic animatronics and no more tokens. No more big rats and
stuff.
Do
kids still like to do that kind of stuff? I mean, there were a couple of birthday parties that my kids got invited to that I just like strategically got out of.
Preloaded game passes. Man, this.
I told Junior's mom that I was honest. I was like, nah, I'm not going to that.
Yeah, it's pretty much what I did.
Chuck E. Cheese is kind of a historic thing. You know, yeah. I remember going when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. It's great. For me, my generation, growing up in the 80s here in West Knoxville, it was Showbiz. Showbiz
Pizza.
Yeah,
Showbiz Pizza. It was over there in the mall where the
Texas
Roadhouse is now.
Yeah. Mr. Gaddy's?
Gaddy's was fun, too. I mean, that was a good party place. But Showbiz was – you had the ball pit – the skee ball, the video games, the whack-a-mole, like all that classic stuff.
Gaddy's is when you got into high school.
Yeah, then you would go in after the party, you would go into the restaurant lounge, and they had the three stages up, and they had the animatronic things, which was like kind of creepy. Like, I just remember Showbiz. Do you remember Showbiz? There was like a big gorilla and a piano. Yeah. And there was like a guy named Billy Bob or something. Like they had three different stages. It was very... very strange.
Yeah.
See, in Mobile, we had a place called Discovery Zone.
We had one of those here.
Yeah, we had Discovery
Zone. Really? Like an indoor,
pretty
much obstacle course place?
They had bumper boats. They had the baseball cages. They had the go-karts, and they had the indoor with all the games and stuff. Yeah.
Kids are missing out these days.
Those are the days, man. Now all they can do is just sit at home and play on their Xboxes.
No, there's still places PS3s. Like that.
There's jump-arounds.
Jump arounds, get laser tag, you know.
I'd rather get shot with like a paintball or something.
Have you ever been shot with a paintball?
As a child?
Stuff hurts.
Yeah. There's no way I'm not putting an airsoft gun in my hand.
I don't think that would.
12-year-olds?
And well. Younger. Tennessee has the 28th toughest schedule in the country per CBS, 8th toughest schedule in the SEC.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's not bad. And that'll change.
8th in the SEC.
Well, I mean, you're 28th in the country, 8th in the SEC. I mean, hey, the late Mike Slive ordered the league to upgrade its coaches and upgrade its scheduling. They did both.
One more
and the SEC
money.
Is now a much better basketball league, both in terms of perception and reality, I think.
A&M hosts Gonzaga on Friday night.
I feel like we're top to bottom, I put us up against any other conference in the country right now.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break here this afternoon on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Open up the phone lines here, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Your phone calls coming up. Stay with us.
Sports radio experience like no other. This is The Drive.
Taco Tuesday at Qdoba. All the knockout tacos, 50 cents off, $2.50 each. Stop by, get yourself a couple of knockout tacos from Qdoba on the way home. They're located in West Knoxville, Kingston Pike, right across the street from the Gallery Shopping Center Chili's near the Westtown Mall area. Stop in there. Let them know you heard us talking about it right here on Fan Run Radio. You'll be glad you did at Qdoba. Let's get Buckeye Guy in here. He'll be up first today on The Drive. Hello, Buckeye Guy.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Going well. Very well. Howdy. Thanks.
Great. First, want to talk about, just kind of mention, actually, Tennessee's game tonight. That line, they have Tennessee at 12.5. What do you all think about that? You think that's a good line, or do you think that's too low? And what I mean by too low, I mean... like, I feel like it should be closer to like a 16. I mean, that's my personal opinion. I think it should be a little bit higher than that. But what do you all think?
For Murray State and Tennessee tonight, the line?
12.5.
I think Murray State gets up and down the court pretty quick.
It's 11.5 on my bookie.
Okay.
Oh,
extra point.
So, I mean, and the reason I say that, obviously, you know, UT has lost a lot, but they also have some good players that came in, and they're a pretty decent team. But as you all know, Murray State lost a first rounder and an incredible player in John Morant. So, just I mean, I just kind of feel like that line is honestly a little bit too low. I mean, I think Tennessee will cover, but just wanted to see what you all think on that. But
I think they'll have a hard time covering it until late in the second half.
Oh, really?
I really hadn't thought about it at all. And I don't know. I couldn't tell you anything about Murray State other than their head coach is a East Tennessee guy.
They returned five of their top
Buckeye
eight
guy. What's your guys? Where do you think the Buckeyes are going to be when the new playoff ratings come out tonight?
We'll be second.
Behind LSU?
Yeah, I think we should have been first going into last week in the first one. But, of course, LSU going into Tuscaloosa and winning, I think that is worthy of them being first.
Who have you all beaten this year? Who's the best? What's your all's best win of the year so far?
Wisconsin, Cincinnati, Indiana.
Wait. Okay, we don't have to go past Wisconsin. They've kind of fallen. I mean, I don't know. You know, I know you guys are good, but I didn't think you guys deserved to be in first place last week. You haven't played anybody.
If you go look at last Saturday. Ohio State's SOS, strength of schedule, of course, between teams 1 through 9, their strength of schedule was the best. Now, LSU, did they have a win against Florida and Texas, who is not ranked, obviously? And, they had those wins, but overall, 1 through 9, Ohio State's strength of schedule was actually the highest.
Buckeye guy, what are your feelings as a Buckeye fan about a potential matchup against Joe Burrow and LSU?
I'll tell you right now, the one that scares me more than that is Clemson. I'm actually more comfortable with LSU, and I'll tell you the reason why. LSU's defense is not a great defense. Yeah, I mean, they're not bad, but they're not a great defense. The reason that Clemson would scare me more is because of their receiving core. They have, they got three or four receivers, you know, they're 6'4", 6'5", obviously T. Higgins, I mean, that are first-round picks. So that one scares me a little bit more than LSU. I think us and LSU are the two best teams. And also the reason I say Clemson is because of our history with Clemson. Listen, I was at the game a couple of years ago in the playoffs when they beat us 31-0 down in Phoenix, and we've not had a good track record against them. So honestly, I'd say Clemson is a scarier matchup than what it would be for LSU. And also another reason I say that is because, as you all know, Joe Burrow was at Ohio State, so we can kind of, I feel like we can prepare for him better. Now, he is obviously an elite quarterback, and that's much easier said than done, but Ohio State knows him better. But also one question I want to ask you about the playoffs. I saw the CBS, they come out with their prediction for the rankings, and last week they were pretty darn accurate on it. They had Georgia at number 4 and Alabama at number 5. Obviously, Clemson 3, OSU 1, and then LSU. OSU 2 and LSU 1. Just my opinion on this, listen, I think people have Georgia way too high. I think you look at them and you look at their loss, which was at home to a South Carolina team who 4-6 or something?
Yeah.
And you look at their wins and losses, and they barely got by Kentucky. They had 0-0 at halftime. Now, the weather was horrible, I understand. But they don't have really any great wins. Of course, they beat Notre Dame, and Notre Dame went into Michigan and got smacked. So, I mean, in my opinion, I think that Georgia should be more around the 10 range. I think Alabama should be 4.
Here's the thing, Buckeye guy. We appreciate the phone call. If that's true, if Georgia isn't for real, and I think we all share a healthy skepticism of Georgia, then that's going to take care of itself. because they're either going to – I mean, they might lose this weekend to Auburn. Certainly, you would think if that's true, they're going to get smashed by LSU or Bama in the SEC championship. And then, yeah, and then it doesn't matter. So I think –
Georgia's got to play A&M?
Yeah.
They ain't losing to A&M. A&M's garbage this year.
Everybody thought they wouldn't lose to South Carolina either.
Yeah, I figured they'd trip up somewhere.
A&M's got a better quarterback than South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina's been an occasional thorn in Georgia's side in the East.
Yeah,
I mean, playing tough.
It's going to be – I think a lot of this is going to clear itself out. The one thing I do, and we hit on it a little bit yesterday, is, you know, if you have an undefeated SEC champion, an undefeated Big Ten champion, and an undefeated ACC champion, then what do you do if it's a one-loss Alabama, a one-loss Oregon, and perhaps a or another one-loss team from the Pac-12? And that's where it gets a little bit dicey. My money would be on Alabama in that situation, but we'll see. Let's get T-Carp in here next. T-Carp, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I hope everybody is doing well. Hey, guys, have you heard or kept up with this Wiseman story out of Memphis?
Yes.
So, Russell, I know we don't like to cheer for Memphis or whatever they do and Penny Hardaway, but is the enemy of my enemy my friend at this moment when it comes to them versus the NCAA?
Well, it's interesting because last week when the Urosh Plavsic ruling came out, my take was if you feel that strongly that his case is that rock solid and, you know, he's been taken advantage of by his Serbian handler and all this stuff, then just go ahead and play him. Just go ahead and play him and make the NCAA be the bad guy. Now, clearly Tennessee has no intention of doing that, but Memphis is. And, you know, Tennessee has – I don't think there's any doubt about it. I'm not looking at this through orange-colored glasses. They have a much better case when it comes to Urosh as opposed to James Wiseman, because the Wiseman thing is – I mean, that is textbook NCAA violation. You have a booster giving an extra benefit to a recruit. I mean, it's
not,
black
not
and white.
Not only a booster, by this thing it says Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
It is the one that did it. So it's not only just a booster. I think Penny Hardaway in this article like either paid to move him down or something crazy like that.
It's exactly what he did. He paid $11,500. It was when Wiseman was at Innsworth. He moved him. I think he played for Penny's
family moved
AAU
from Nashville
team,
to Memphis.
And they moved from Nashville
Penny
to Memphis, and then the kid went from an elite prep school in Nashville to playing at Memphis East for Penny.
I can just see – I don't know, man. I can just see how Memphis will take this and say, you know, we're just trying to move a underprivileged child from one place to the other. And you just throw a lot of stuff out there, man.
But here's the thing, though, T-Carp, is – Penny, when he did this, was not Memphis's coach, and might have fancied that job somewhere down the road, but that was not even on. He was just a guy in Memphis, and granted, like his thing is, hey, I do this for lots of kids, did this for lots of kids, did this for kids who didn't even play basketball. I'm just all about my community and all this stuff. But the NCAA rulebook could not be more clear about this. Like, this is, you can't have a school's booster give money to a recruit. That's like the oldest NCAA violation in the book.
And I understand the rules, the quote unquote rules there, but I guess I see the point of Memphis is just going to say, screw it. You know, we're doing this, and to heck with the NCAA, which last week you were telling Rick Barnes and the boys to do. Am I correct?
Yes and no. Yes, I was telling, I was advocating we do that with Urosh, but I just think we have a much better case. I mean, what has Urosh Plavsic done wrong?
not taking a car, a house, and $11,500 from Penny Hardaway. There you go. Summed it up.
I mean, that's what he hasn't done. What has he done wrong? And this is what Rick Barnes was saying last week. The NCAA should have to tell him, this is why you're not eligible.
And I think they're waiting on that final appeal denial to come in this week, and then they'll get an explanation.
T-Carp, we got to run, man. Good to hear from you. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio.
Live. Get some.
Couple of things, the Wiseman, James Wiseman thing going on at Memphis that I think Memphis is going to have a hard time working around. Is first of all, as we were talking with T-Carp, I mean, it's not like the Urosh thing where we're talking about a guy who's transferred twice or thing. We're talking about an extra benefits thing. And you could sit here and say, it's a poor kid, and he was doing them a favor, trying to help better their lives. And, okay, like, that might be true. That's fine. But, like, the rule is on the books. And you can also
– I mean, how are you going to do that when the kid was going to an elite prep school and you put him at Memphis East? I'm not saying anything bad about Memphis East, but it is Memphis East.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the Tennessee High School Athletic Association just deemed him ineligible today or yesterday.
Are they going to have to forfeit? Is Memphis East going to have to forfeit anything they won with him?
They're pretty much saying he, and I'll go find the article, they're pretty much saying he was only really allowed to play like 1 year, but he played two.
Well, they didn't win the state because Quez Glover and Pember beat him for the state championship.
Well, Ed, the other thing people will say is, what if his mom took the money and he didn't know? And that might have happened too. That might be true. But it's the Cam Newton rule. Remember, they changed this after because his thing was, we can't find the money trail, but it's pretty obvious that his dad got paid and he might not have known anything about it. Well, they have a rule. It doesn't matter. If the prospect's family gets paid, that is a violation. And, I think this thing's going to get ugly because their lawyer's already kind of playing the race card a little bit, and they're going to say, they're going to say, why is the NCAA picking on Memphis? You know, we've never won a national championship. Why aren't they doing the same thing to Duke and Carolina and Kansas and all that stuff? But that's not going to hold up because they are. If you look around, Kansas had the D'Souza kid was ineligible for extra benefits last year. Rick Pitino saw his entire program get blowed up, not over the hookers, but over Brian Bowen getting paid extra benefits. Even Kentucky under Calipari had Enos Kanter could not get eligible because of money that he had received playing overseas as a professional. So that's not going to work, in my opinion, in front of the NCAA. And I guess, they're just banking on, we're going to play the kid and whatever, and come hell or high water, we're willing to accept the consequences. My thing is, okay, if you don't do well, the worst thing is you have wins come off the record, right? What if you do well, man? What if you go to a Final Four and you have to have that banner taken
down? Well, here's the thing.
I feel like that would kind of suck.
I don't think they're going to get invited to the tournament.
Well, that too.
Yeah, but unfortunately, until they – I don't think the NCAA can get done with all of their work in the next 3 months that would give Memphis a bowl ban. A postseason ban.
I'm not talking about a ban. They just won't invite them.
No, you'll invite them. That's money. That's money. NCAA's going to invite them.
No. Not if it's like this.
The conference
will play
them in the tournament.
Who knows? Who knows how that works? Who knows how the committee – like, I don't know enough about
they
it.
They weren't shunning UNC out whenever they were breaking every
to
rule
in the
world.
NCAA tournament versus what the rules committee has to do with it. I mean, that's kind of nebulous to me.
Just to support Memphis's argument, I guess, that's UNC. That's not Memphis. And UNC never just ran to court and got an injunction. And nobody's ever been this brazen about it.
By the way, we have a beer barrel sighting. Moose.
It's pretty funny.
Brian Niedermeyer just tweeted out about 15 minutes ago a picture of the beer barrel. This, to me, as far as I know, is the first sighting of the beer barrel that we've seen since it went away some 20 years ago. The picture of it on his desk in his office, that is the beer barrel. He said he had to stop by his office before getting out on the road recruiting, making sure everything was right where it's supposed to be. Maybe a little bit of a message to...
I love how he's on the computer checking Facebook as well.
Maybe a little bit of a message to Tyler Barron or Trayvon Ribka, Octavius Oxenine, some of these guys they're recruiting against Kentucky for.
Good point.
Stay tuned. It's The Drive, hour number two, coming up.